While this is loading up, first of all, of course, I want to thank the organizing committee for having the opportunity to speak in honor of Reen. It's rare in probably any of our careers that we have somebody that's such a mentor and so generous with their time. And I was trying to think of how to start introducing Reen, and I thought of, you know, he's soil science royalty, but really that's a little bit too elite for the way that Reen interacts with people. I also thought you could describe him as our own rock star. And I think that might seem a bit much, although after Peter's pictures yesterday, maybe it's more appropriate. But also, if you walk behind Reen about 10 feet at one of these conferences, it's really interesting to see the younger people, especially when they see his name tag and they do a double take, you know. And then half the time you can hear them say, "That's the Van Genuchten," you know. So he's as close to a rock star, I think, as we actually have. But really, I think mentor is probably the best description of Reen, and also a kind of a community organizer in the best sense of that. And so I'm going to focus on that aspect of Reen's contributions and try to talk about how the rest of us can kind of step up and try to follow in some of these things that Reen has done so well. And this is something that I put together with Danny. First of all, in this group, and probably in just about any group that you talk to, there's really no debate about the importance of soil. And we use a lot of these terms, these sentences, these phrases to support that. We talk about soil as the Earth's life support system, or as a foundation of society, talking about its structural capabilities as well. There's also this hot-button term of critical zone, which Yakov has had a bit of a discussion about that online. And whether or not you like the term, I think it's undeniable that soil lies right in the middle of all of the biotic and atmospheric subsurface processes that are of great importance to us. So there's really no question about the importance of soil. What many of us lament is this underappreciation of soil science. And this is really getting to a critical point, I think, and it's something you hear over and over again in the meetings and outside of the meetings, that we're in a really bad way for soil science right now. And I think that if this is our problem, we can start looking at what some of those symptoms of that problem are. And really, we tend to focus around four of them. Students don't like us. If you put soil in the name of a course, it's certain to be under-enrolled. The public doesn't really want to read about soil science. Other scientists don't really care about soil science. And then finally, the funding for soil science is terrible. These are things you'll hear over and over again, here and elsewhere. So if these are our symptoms, I think that we would rationally go to somebody and ask for a diagnosis. Well, if this is what's going on, what's our prognosis? Well, the one that we hear the most is that we're dying, that this is the end of soil science, so enjoy the ride while you can. But I think that there's another equally valid diagnosis, and one that I think is at least gives us a way forward, and that is that we're really just going through a bit of a midlife crisis, that we need to look at the problems that we're having as a turning point in our field and think about where we can go from there. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take those four symptoms that we have and look at them in the context of these two diagnoses. So starting out with the students, and one of the things that we hear a lot, and I think it's quite true, is that we have this overemphasis or over-reliance on agriculture. And one of the things that we take out to demonstrate this is the distribution of students who are working in soil science and how many of those students are in agricultural departments. And if you look at this, there are only about 25% of students who are in departments other than agricultural departments who are working or identified as working in soil science. And that's a real problem if agriculture is not giving us the support that we need to sustain our discipline. But again, there's another way to look at this, and that is ask the students what they think they're doing. And if you ask the students what they think they're going to do with their soils-related career, the overwhelming majority of them think that they're going to do something in the environment. And many of them think that they're going to work on this bridge between the environment and agriculture. How do we make agriculture more sustainable, greener? So we already have the student body heading in the right direction, and we're just kind of ossified in these departments at universities and thinking and lamenting our relationship with agriculture. You can also look at this in terms of a loss of critical mass. Our departments are getting smaller and smaller, we say. Soil science departments are getting so small that we don't have enough students to have a conversation, let alone a real debate. And this could be true as well, that our departments are getting smaller. But one aspect of that, if you think that this means that our field is dying, you would think that our academic production, our research production, would be going down. And it's really quite the opposite. There's a steady increase in production in soils-related research. So things are going just fine. We're, I think, just looking at it the wrong way in some ways. Certainly, if you talk to most members of the public, their eyes will glaze over if you say you're a soil scientist. And you can see this if you look at New York Times, their science section, you can actually search by topic on how many articles have been related to soil science. Now, while it's heartening that we have a few more than rhinoceroses, it's a little bit, and even accounting for New York's, you know, penchant for pigeons, it's still something that, you know, there are many more articles about pigeons than there are about soils in the New York Times science. So again, another way to look at this, there might not be that many articles about soils, but how many articles include soils? So if you look by keyword rather than by topic, you find that most of the things that people are interested in actually involve soil science. They just don't know it, right? So we're not doing a good enough job of making it clear to people how important our research is to the things that matter to them. We're a homeless group, right? We don't have a sugar daddy, as it were. We don't have an agency of soil. There is no secretary of soil in the U.S. There's an agency for atmosphere and oceans, but not for soil. So the closest that we have is Department of Agriculture. And again, this is a very useful relationship, but it's not enough to sustain and grow our discipline. So we don't have a place that we can go. Even the USGS, with its four disciplines, doesn't have one on soil. So we don't have a place that we can go for funding. The good news is that, you know, while we don't live in any of these places, they're all willing to let us sleep on their couch, right? They were all willing to give us funding as a part of the research that they do. So again, it's this idea of soil as being fundamental and integral to many areas of research, even though we don't have this high-profile home. And of course, this home is really tragic when you think if we're going to depend just on the Department of Agriculture, and you look at their research budget compared to every other science, major science funding research budget, it's minuscule, it's non-existent. So we need to be involved with these other agencies in these other areas of science. The good news is that we are. Just taking two examples, if you look at the critical zone observatories in the U.S., all of these critical zone observatories, if you go to their websites, they have somebody, at least one person who identifies as a soil scientist as one of their co-PIs. And in the case of Tucson, the one in Tucson, one of the PIs on this project is a soil scientist. So soil scientists are involved in these big projects. They're just not necessarily seen as soil science projects. LTER, if you go to their website, 45 of the researchers self-identify as soil scientists. So again, we're out there, we're doing good research, but we're not branding and we're not thinking of ourselves as a group, perhaps in the right way. And then, of course, if you have a diagnosis, you have to make sure that the diagnosis is age-appropriate. And this is one of the big things that we always bring out when we talk about the health or lack of health of soil science, and that is that we are aging. I mean, you know, we're essentially a bunch of old white guys doing soil science, right? And if our middle age is 50, in the 50s, you know, this is not a healthy demographic for the future of soil science. But there's another fact or two hidden in this data. And if we look at it, if we look at the demographic of females within soil science, we see that the age distribution is incredibly encouraging. That we are really going through this midlife crisis. We're changing the demographic, we're changing the approach to soil science. And if we look at it that way, we're really out in the lead of many of the sciences. And in fact, if you look now, we've already reached 50% male-female across soil science, which might be surprising, but that's what the data are telling us from Hardemink. I'll take questions later. So if we go back to the original these original foundation statements, these things that we talk about, the need for science. I think if we look at it in a different way, we see that really it's all about soil as being a support. So soil is the support for life. It's the link between other disciplines. And I think that this is an aspect that we can draw on and that we can promote in different ways than perhaps that we're thinking about promoting them right now. So how do we do that? We just sort of laid out four general approaches as to what we can do. The first is to identify. And this can be very small things. If you start looking at different disciplines and if people want to gauge the health of a discipline, they're going to search keywords. Make sure that you're including soil science as one of the keywords on your publications, even if it's not in a soil science journal. Push the use of soils and soil science in your titles, in your talks. Really get the idea out there that soil science is a discipline, despite the changes in the composition of universities, that soil science is a discipline that's alive and that identifies itself as a discipline. We need to integrate. And this, I've already mentioned that we need to integrate with other disciplines, that soils is a part of many of these large, these high-profile problems, and we need to make sure that we're at the table when these things are done, because if we're not, other people are going to do it, and frankly, they're probably going to do it wrong, right? So we have to make sure that soil science knowledge is involved with these projects. It's also, I think, critically important that we start doing a better job of integrating within soil science. How many non-S1 sessions do we go to as soil physicists, right? How many times do we really learn about what's happening in other aspects of soil science, right? With the exception of Danny, I think he goes to all of them. But one of the things that we could do just as an idea is take one of the days of this meeting and organize it by topic, not by discipline or subdiscipline. Let's really actively get people involved. And as the incoming chair of S1, I would really like to hear symposium topics and session topics that actively integrate across 2, 3, or 4 of these S divisions. Let's take the lead on trying to integrate that way. We need to participate in some of these projects. Often it can be very frustrating to be a small part in these big projects, especially as the budgets start to get divvied up and you're perhaps left out. But it's important to our science and it's important to the continued health of our discipline that we are part of the LTER, that we're part of the CZO, that we're part of the activities going on in Australia that I was just talking to Keith about. This is a necessary thing that we do and we do well and we need to keep doing. And then finally, we need to advocate for soil science. This is part of this identification, but we need to be out there looking for opportunities, not just for ourselves, but for other soil scientists. We need to be finding ways to bring soil science to other journals, high-impact journals, ideally, and to bring other disciplines to our journals. And the thing that was really striking to me when I finally wrote this list down is that you couldn't find a better role model for how to do this than Rean. You know, Rean has done this through his whole career, even at the expense, at times, of his own professional advancement. He has gone out of his way to make sure that soil science keeps advancing and that soil scientists of all discipline subdisciplines keep advancing. So I think that we could have this sort of a bracelet campaign for what would Van Gernuchten do or something like that as we move forward to try to promote soil science. So thanks very much.
Thank you very much, Ty. Any questions to Ty? Yes.
I'm from Clemson University. I'm in engineering and environmental engineering. And for the better part of 10 or 15 years, we tried to team up with agriculture and form an overall environmental engineering and science type organization. And basically, neither side would trust the other. There was a lot of suspicion, and should it go into engineering, should everybody move into agriculture, and it essentially stymied the whole attempt. Yeah. But it was very much along the way, along the lines of what you were saying.
Yeah, I think, you know, not to put individuals on the line, but I think that there are a lot of deans in the way of you know, this kind of collaboration. And I think one thing that's an advantage is that the structure, the need for these brick-and-mortar university departments is going to start disappearing. This is going to be our home, not our departments in the future. So that's an opportunity, yeah.
The gentleman that just asked the question here, I mentioned the word engineering, which you didn't mention at all, and I'd just like to comment also that as far as soil physics goes, in most universities, I think there's probably 10 times as many people take engineering soils each year as take soil physics. So there's certainly a lot of people that are knowledgeable about soils out there but never have soil science terminology connected with them.
Yeah. Now, I mean, don't get me wrong, I wouldn't go so far as to say that we should work with engineers. I mean, that's, yeah, I'm just kidding. But there is an important distinction. There is a need for bringing the soil science into the engineering and advancing that practice. And there's also a real need to make sure that our soil science is in line with the soils engineering as well and structural foundations. Yeah. Undergraduate degree in soil science. All right. So what would you say, about 10% at the most?
Yeah, and I think this is an issue. Soil scientists don't quite recognize
And Danny said, please promise me that you will talk about soil as a natural body, and I forgot to do it. This is a really good point about this integration, and there are ways that are coming that we can improve this integration and getting the message out there. I think that online courses that are going beyond your own university, ways that we can get out the message of integration in multiple disciplines. It's so natural to soil scientists and is very unnatural to most other disciplines, or many other disciplines that are now trying to do interdisciplinary work. So David, I think you're spot on that soil scientists have a real natural ability to lead some of these collaborative efforts. Good. Thanks again, Reid.
Thank you. Thank you, Ty. Now let's welcome our second speaker, Nick Jarvis.